sun. Let's say a wretch like me, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers told and snared, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me say thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, praise, and when we first begun, and when we first begun.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Anderson. Appreciate that. Well, it's good to be here this evening. That is a relative statement, I think. I just asked Brother Mick, is this kind of weather judgment upon Yankees? It's a hard way to start off. Let me read you something here. Many of you have been praying for the sale of our trailer. How many of y'all have prayed for that? Amen. Thank you. Please continue to pray for that. We feel like we are close. We're hoping anyway, but you know, when you put it on things like RV Trader, Craigslist, things like that, sometimes you have to deal with different situations, scammers, you know. And so this one man contacted us. He is from up in the New York area. Said 2016 Forest River Cardinal. Listed the price. He said, I'm interested in buying this item. Do you still have it? I said, yes. He said, what's the condition of the item? I said, excellent. He said, so get back to me with your PayPal email account and your name so that I can make the payment. I mean, you know, red flags are flying all over the place about right now, because he's not seen it. He's not offered a price. He's not, he's ready to pay. I'm for that, by the way, amen. But, so I ask him, I'm thinking, you know, let's see what's going on. He says, I said, how much are you offering? He said, $60,000. Now, right there, I know something's wrong, amen. He's offering more than what I'm asking, so I know I'm dealing with a scammer at this point. I said, are you wanting the unit delivered? He said, don't worry about the pickup. My shipping agent will be coming to pick it up. So get back to me with your PayPal email account and your name so that I can make the payment. By the way, if he gets my email account to my PayPal account, then he can get to my checking and credit cards and so on that's attached to that and use them. So that's why he wants my PayPal email account. I said, I'm not sure how this works. Could you help guide me? He says, try and get the PayPal account set up and get back to me. I said, would it be easier to give you my bank account number? I can see this guy right now. He's hooting and hollering with his friends. I got a Rube on the line here, guys. You know, he says, I like PayPal because PayPal is instant money. Well, I will advise you to go and set up a PayPal account because it's the best, fastest, reliable, and secure way for you to get your money in your account. And it's very easy. You can go to PayPal.com and follow the instructions. You have to do this now and get back to me. I said, why don't you just go to my website and pay through the donate button? He said, I don't know the site. I said, it's iknowuracam.com. I know you're a scam. .com. He never said anything back. So after about an hour, I said, thanks, you've been fun. So pray for us that'll get taken care of before too long. We'd sure like to be able to get that trailer sold. We are looking to move up to this area. I reckon God's mad at me too. So anyway, my wife's happy, amen, and so I am too. I really am. After many months, and it's been almost 4 years now. In April, it'd be 4 years that we started the ministry, and we had talked about doing several different things, but we really just determined God called us up here. We need to move up here, and just pray that God would open the right doors for us, and He will in His time. Amen. Take your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 2 this evening. I would ask you, please, be praying. It was on the list there, Brother Wilkins' death. Brother Wilkins was one of my teachers when I was in Bible college, and I've worked for him twice through the years in different churches, have traveled and preached with him on many occasions. We will be, his funeral is in New Mexico, and we'll be traveling there to the funeral. It'll be next Tuesday, and then turn around coming back up here. So please pray for us in that God would just be with us as we travel, give us safety. And he was more than just a dear friend. To some of you folks, it would have been like, I guess, a Brother Howes was to Brother Angel. Just my mentor, and he had invested much in my life. But you pray for him and his family. Also, please, my cousin, Diane Welch, that I'd mentioned there, we do not know if she's saved. She says she is, but there's no fruit. And she's been in Jehovah's Witness and everything else through the years. So they went to do some gallbladder surgery. It's been, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and found cancer. And so if you would, you pray for her. Hebrews chapter 2, if you would. Let's stand in honor of reading God's Word, if you have that. Just going to read a few verses here this evening. Hebrews chapter 2, if you have that, say amen. Wave at me, do something, let me know you're there. All right, got it? All right, you follow along as I read. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels would steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us, unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Let's pray and we'll look at the message this evening. Just want to preach on this. We're letting things slip. We're letting things slip. Let's pray. We'll look at the message. Father, as we come and bow before you, Lord, I am so glad to be saved tonight. I cannot imagine, Lord, some 36 years now that I've been saved, and I'm so thankful. Thank you that you called me into the ministry. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of Faith Baptist Church, to have a pastor like Brother Terry Angel, and God, how I lift him up to you tonight and ask you, God, just give him wisdom as he preaches to a hurting people. And God, I need your help as best I know how. I yield myself to you and ask you to use me and use the message. We pray now in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I saw something earlier today that I read. It says this, okay, Christmas is over. I'm ready for summer. Amen. And that's about how it is down south. So I was looking earlier. It was, I think, 44 down there in the Houston area today. And that's a whole lot warmer than here. I got out and ventured out a little bit today. And I came up to the church, was here for a few hours. And, man, by the time I got back in the truck, it was already cold. And you know, the heater can't keep up with the cold, and man, it's just, I don't know how y'all do it. Y'all gotta pray for me. I'm serious. I don't know how this all gonna work out. Anyway, yeah, amen. Oh my. Listen, it's, when I stop and look back over the year, it's been a great year. We were looking at numbers just over the last 4 years. We've been in, I guess, 122 churches. I don't know how many of those were helps, how many are churches that we've presented at, helped start three churches over the last almost 4 years. It'd be 4 years in middle of April. Did you count? I don't know. We've had numerous folks saved. It's been exciting to watch. The Lord has opened more doors to help train soul winners this year. I've been in several churches they've not been soul winning churches, yet the pastor has gotten a burden for soul winning and wants his people to get that and had asked us to come. We were in several that we were there for 3 weeks. And just, you know, spending time teaching classes. In particular, we were down in Mississippi, and there was a man there, mid-60s. He's been saved, I think, for 3 or 4 years now, and had come to the soul-winning classes. We'd been in that church before. He has a ministry that's really kind of unique. It's a Bible handout ministry, and He really just had a burden to hand out Bibles in every county in Mississippi. And so the church has funded that. They give out those gift and award Bibles. He'll go to a parking lot, whether it's a Walmart or Lowe's or some parking lot that has a lot of traffic, it's busy, and go out to the end of the parking lot. And we'll set up a couple of signs that just say free Bibles. And as folks would come by, he would give them a Bible. And really, because he was not a soul winner, he wasn't even talking to them about the Lord. In fact, he had asked me to make a CD that they would put with each Bible, leading somebody or, you know, preaching the gospel so that they could hand that out with the Bible. And I told him, I said, look, you really need to learn how to win souls so that you can, man, as people pull up, you can talk to them about the Lord. And I've been out with him several times on a Bible handout, and you cannot keep up with all the people that pull up wanting a Bible. And so I really told him, Brother Wesley, you have got to learn to win souls. So I gave him some material and such, and he read it and listened to it and just didn't get it. But when we went down there teaching classes, he got a hold of it. And while we were there, before we left, we'd gone on a Bible handout, and we had 5 saved on one day, and I think 8 on another. He had led 3 to the Lord before we had left there. The Saturday following our leaving, he had 2 more saved, and since then, every weekend, he's having somebody saved. So, man, it's been exciting to be able to begin to not only go and win souls, but to teach folks how to win souls. And that's really, you know, with the ministry that we have and encouraging small churches, one of the things that we want to do is try to get new faces in the pew, because that's one of the biggest things you can do to help encourage a church. But we found out that really, man, if we'll teach the folks how to win souls, it makes a huge impact on that church, because now it's not just the pastor and his kids or the pastor and his wife, you know, that are going out. Now he's got other people helping him, and man, that's been a huge encouragement. Folks, let's be honest, our nation's in trouble. That's not the first time I've said that from this pulpit, but our nation's in desperate trouble. We're in need of revival in a bad way. And with the way that the direction we're headed as a nation, and I don't, you know, not trying to be a preacher of doom and gloom, but we are headed in a bad direction. Our national leadership, I thank God for Vice President Pence. I believe he's a saved man, but. And I thank the Lord, I know I've said this before here, that I thank the Lord Hillary did not get elected. If you voted for her, you can get saved here in a little bit. Amen. And you're welcome. Get mad at the preacher. He's the one that asked me to preach, all right? So, but y'all breathe easy. It's all right. But listen, Donald Trump isn't the answer either. I said something about, I was down in Texas City. Some of y'all know Brother Hector Rodriguez. I was down there preaching at Brother Hector's. And on Sunday morning, I called Donald Trump a Fruit Loop. On Sunday night, one of the ladies came and she said, I'm mad at you. You called my president a Fruit Loop. I said, I stand by my remarks. And we had to end the conversation because she was mad. But listen, he's not the answer. Folks, you listen to me. The problem is a spiritual problem. It's not something that can be solved politically. It cannot be solved socially. It cannot be solved through economics or any of the other, the race relations and all of that. It cannot be solved through those things. And we are in a time, I have been amazed that to see as we have traveled over the last 3.5-4 years of the things that I have seen, the comments that I've heard about, you know, where we are and what we can preach and what we can't preach. You know, and I've talked with Brother Angel about this. As an evangelist, it's not my job to come in and preach certain things as far as separation and those kind of things. Those are touchy subjects today. And can I be honest with you? That's sad to me. My generation, and I see many of you that are my generation and older, we grew up on. I was going to a Southern Baptist church when I'd gotten saved. I went back to the church that I'd grown up in as a Southern Baptist church. But many of the people that were leaving to go to Bible college were either going to Hiles Anderson or they were going to Tennessee Temple. And so it's a very, what we would call a conservative Baptist church. We ran buses. We had folks saved. It was a growing church. And there was problems, at least in my estimation, because of the convention. When I surrendered to the ministry, I went to an independent Baptist college because of the influence of Brother Hiles, though I didn't go to Hiles Anderson. I was getting his tapes sent home from students that were there, and they would send me tapes, and I'd listen to Brother Hiles, and of course Brother Roloff was from Texas. I'd listen to him and to different fellas like that to me were the men of God that I looked to that were mentors. I think of fellas like Lee Robertson and Tom Malone and R.G. Lee, B.R. Lakin, G.B. Vick, so many of those fellas and as I was, as a young Christian, listening to the preaching of those fellas, the things that I heard, what were Bible doctrine. Listen, as fundamental independent Baptists, we are biblicists. Amen. We stick to this old King James book. Amen. Hey, we preach this. This is not tradition. Our pastor doesn't get up and talk about traditions and all that. It's not some kind of rituals that we go through. Hey, this is the very Word of God, the infallible, inerrant, verbally inspired, authoritative book of God. Man, I cut my teeth on that kind of preaching. On hard preaching. Amen. Preaching, let's just be honest. Man, preaching that you and I need because of the carnality and sinful condition of our heart and lives. Say amen right there now. The truth is, folks, that we are in a time now that I believe this, the Holy Spirit of God said this in 2 Timothy 3. He said, they're perilous times. I believe with all my heart the Lord's soon to come back. I really do. I think as Christians, we can see things that we can see God's plan being set in place. Amen? And as we watch, let's be honest, the world's blind to it. I mean, they don't see it. And we see it openly. Man, the things of Israel, there is such a hatred towards Israel. I thank God that President Trump said, hey, we're going to take a stand. Jerusalem's the capital. Hey, God set that capital many years ago. All we're doing is just going back and agreeing with God again. Amen? But the things of the Word of God and what it is to us, it's the book of God. It's His very words. I've said this many times in preaching. I believe this. If Jesus Himself were standing here preaching tonight, He'd quote from this book. Because this is all that God has to say to us right now. Amen? It just stand and quote it. And folks, this is God's Word. I think of things like the things that we've heard. Back there in verse 1, this is what it says. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I think on things like this. There is a God. He's holy, and He's to be feared. You know, there's not much preaching on the fear of God anymore. And let's be honest, our nation, in large part, has no fear of God. And I say many of what is called Christians today in our nation have no fear of God. They just, He's a God of convenience. He's a God that fits in what they want Him to be. Folks, that's not Bible. See, He's not to be conformed to our desires. We're to be conformed to His image. And I think about things like the preaching of salvation. The easy believism thing hit fundamentalism for a while. But folks, I still believe in old-fashioned faith and repentance. You can't get saved without repenting of your sin. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 is clear about that. He says faith or repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the things that we've heard about holy living. The separation. Now just hang on, don't get mad and don't throw things, but listen, those of you that go down the movie house, you're in sin. You're welcome. Some of you watching things at home that you shouldn't be watching. Amen. Say amen right there. Don't get quiet on me. Good night. I'm at home here. I know where we stand and wherever our preacher preaches. The things of modesty for women. That they're to dress like women and look like ladies. Amen. Man, listen, I'm telling you, it is amazing to me how many young preachers have told me, Brother Scott, I cannot preach Bible standards. I'll lose everybody. Let me help you right here. We don't get to set what we preach. You just preach the truth. Fellas, I know I talked with preacher about this. There was a man down in a church in Texas. He had had, long hair. He'd come up to us. Some of you may have seen him. At football camp, he'd come up there and do the cooking, as for several years. He's a good man. He's in a church down there in Texas. But he had gotten a haircut, and I was down there preaching, and my uncle is in that same church. My uncle's hair was too long. Amen. God gives. I believe this with all my heart. I made a statement that, you know, I was glad to see John Paul got a haircut. And my uncle did too. And I believe God gave us a natural, I don't know how to say it, a natural rule for hair. Fellas, your hair is to be inside the hairline that God gave us. Ladies, yours is to be outside that hairline. I believe that's Bible. And I said something about that just in passing. I didn't think anything about it. It turned out I caused that pastor problem for saying something. And as simple as that. Man, you preach on the thing of you know, being careful about where you go. The things that you watch, that's just part of who we are and what we've heard. The things of, faithfulness to your local church. You know, I believe with all my heart, I know this may be a little screwy, but listen, I believe this. Just like God calls a pastor to a church, He places the members in particular where He wants them. You don't have the right just to get up and leave this church because you don't like something the preacher said. Amen. That's not scriptural. God placed you here. And unless God tells you to leave, you got no business leaving. Amen. Things like, man, sacrificial living. There's not much preaching on sacrificial living anymore. I don't know. I just, when I came out of Bible college, listen, I'd have paid somebody to let me go to work for them. Amen? They didn't have to pay me a salary. I'd do it for free, get a job, just to say that I was working in the ministry. And I'm telling you, that's kind of almost foreign to Bible college graduates today. I don't get that. But the thing of sacrificial living. Man, sacrificial giving. Say amen right there now. Y'all getting y'all acting like you're scared or something. I'm just telling you the things we have heard through the years. That now, if you preach them, you just about get in trouble. I believe this. There ought to be sacrificial service. Amen. I believe everybody ought to be involved in whether it's Sunday school or whether it's the bus ministry, the jail ministry, whether it's a nursing home ministry or some kind of junior church or missions. And man, if you're not going to be a missionary, then give to missions. I mean, that's just and all of it. Every ministry that we have is to be this. It's to all be a soul winning ministry. Man, for every one of us, I've been taught this from the time I got saved. Our lifestyle is to be the lifestyle of a soul winner. And if you're not winning souls, can I say this? Shame on you. There are people hurting out there. There are people that's dying and going to hell. And somebody's got to tell them. That's the things that we've heard for many years. The Bible says here we better give the more earnest heed to those things, lest at any time we let them slip. I think about slip as this. In fact, it says in the center column reference here, it says, run out as a leaking vessel. To me, I think in my mind, a slip, like you're in a tug of war with a rope and it's just slipping through your hands. We're letting a lot of things slip today. Say amen right there. There's some of you right now that, man, you're wagging your head about some of the things I've already said tonight. I mean, you just cannot believe why that can. He cannot say that. That is not. All it is Bible. Let me give you three things. I'm done. Number one, we need to recognize the times that we're in. We need to recognize the times that we're in. Folks, people in America and around this world are not for us. They look at us as extremists. They think of us as... I mean, even to the point that our last president said that we were, he equated us with the Islamic terrorists. Fundamentalist Christians were just as bad as Islamic terrorists. I don't see anybody that has, I've never heard it here, somebody preaching, strap a bomb on and go kill some Jews. I don't believe that's one of our doctrines. I saw a report today that an imam down in the Houston area preached that very thing this week at his mosque because President Trump said, we'll back Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He told his congregation they needed to kill more Jews. Folks, we're in some dangerous times. By the way, it didn't happen in here in America, but I'm telling you, all over this world, there are Christians that are being killed. There's a Baptist pastor, I forget, one of the Middle Eastern countries, this week, was kidnapped, and they don't hold out much hope for him. And it's dangerous. We need to recognize the times that we're in. Turn back to 2 Timothy 4 real quick. No doubt we can see 2 Timothy 3 and 4. I want to hurry here. Just verse 3 and 4 in 2 Timothy 4. For the time will come, by the way, I'd say and now is, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. Folks, we are in that time. Truth is hated. I mean, we might as well be honest, even by what some would say are Christians. They cannot stand that we take a stand on this old King James. They mock us and ridicule us. These are folks that we want to call brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm not mad at them, but I'm certainly hurt by them. I don't understand. I've been mocked for standing on this King James by my own family. Man, you listen to me. I'm not fixing to change. But we've got to recognize the times that we're in. Let me say secondly tonight, we need to heed the warning of the Scriptures. He said there, again, look at it, give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't think just because you belong to Faith Baptist Church that somehow you're not letting some things slip. Can I say your membership here does not somehow keep you from personally allowing things to slip in your life? And we've gotten to where, and I know I may be kind of preaching to the choir tonight, but We've gotten to where, man, many of the things, many of the doctrines that we used to stand, I can still hear Brother Howes, just ripping and snorting and carrying on about, the thing of separation, the thing of sacrificial living, the thing of, man, having a heart for God. Purity. Our pastor preached it just a couple of Sundays ago about purity of heart. And without a pure heart, you'll not have a pure life. So many of us are worldly and carnal. We need to go back and just heed the warnings and check ourselves out. Am I letting things slip, or where am I letting things slip? Last thing is this, and I'll close. We need to pray for revival. We need to pray for revival. Personally. Each one of our lives, we need personal revival. We need church-wide revival. Let me back up and say this again. Just because you're a member of Faith Baptist Church doesn't mean you're on fire for God. Somehow we get in our mind, man, I belong to Faith Baptist Church. Brother Terry Angel's my pastor. And man, it doesn't mean nothing. You're welcome. I believe he's a great man of God, and I thank God that he's my pastor. But I cannot depend on his walk for my life. And that's what some of you are doing. Yeah, well, this man, look at the ministry of this church, yeah? What are you doing? How are you involved? What's your soul winning ministry? Amen. Personal revival, church-wide revival. In a desperate way, we need national revival. National revival. I believe this with all my heart. I say it as we travel. We're losing the battle in America right now. By the way, over in the Philippines and South Korea, they're having revival over there. They have college students that sleep in pews, not padded pews, but they sleep in pews to be able to go to Bible college. Can you imagine? Just selling out and saying, man, I remember when I believe God called me. I'd not been saved, but maybe a year or so, I made plans to go off to Bible college. I didn't have a car, didn't have anything, didn't have any money. I had a bicycle. I was determined I'm going to Bible college. I didn't have a job, nothing. But I was going to Bible college. I knew God wanted me there. I moved to Longview, Texas, and went to get in Bible college, and before I left, my parents decided that I needed more than a bicycle, so they gave me a car. I got there, and I was sitting in chapel. I wasn't in school yet, but I was sitting in chapel, and they'd said a couple of fellas needed a ride over to Tyler, Texas. They had a job interview at UPS, and they needed a ride over there. And Tyler is about 35 miles away. Is anybody could take them? I said, I'll take them. I don't have anything else to do. And so I took them to the interview. And while I was there, I thought, man, I'll fill out an application too. Amen. And I did. And they interviewed me. And they said they wanted to give me a job as a UPS driver. I said, no, I can't do that. I'm going to Bible college. They said, why are you here? I said, I wanted a job working in the preload over there in Longview. And they said, oh, okay. The two fellas I took over there did not get a job. I did get a job. I don't think they were happy with me. I was happy, though, amen. I'm just saying, you know, where's our life anymore of just, God, I want to sell out to you. Whatever it is. God, I just want to sell out. God, would you use me? If it means paying a price, then it ain't much of a price to pay to serve Him. Amen. I mean, let's be honest. What can we do really to repay Him? Nothing. What a Savior. Give earnest heed to the things that you've heard. At any time, you let them slip. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you first tonight, are you saved? If you died right now, do you know that heaven's your home? Not asking you about your church membership or baptism, anything like that. I'm saying, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up by way of testimony? Preacher, I'm saved, no doubt about it. Thank you all over the house tonight. Thank you. Anybody tonight, you'd be honest with God. You'd say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I certainly don't want to go to hell, but if I died right tonight, not sure heaven's my home. Preacher, would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? You'd be honest tonight. You'd just slip your hand up. Not sure I'm saved. Let me pray for you, please. Anybody like that? All right. How many of you would say this? God spoke to my heart tonight. Maybe it's something in the preaching. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's something else. But God spoke to your heart. that's you. Would you just slip your hand up tonight? God spoke to my heart tonight. Thank you. Let me ask you to do this. Don't let that be a one-sided conversation. God spoke to your heart. You come to the altar tonight and you talk to Him too. Don't just leave Him with Him talking to you and you just ignore Him. We're going to pray. The invitation to be given is for you tonight. Father, please use the invitation now. God, we need you. Our nation needs you. Lord, we pray, God, please, work in us and through us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays, God spoke to your heart. You come on tonight. Where have you let things slip? As we head into a new year, you ought to take some personal inventory and say, God, where have I let things slip? Maybe in my Bible reading. Maybe I'm allowing it to slip from time to time. Or maybe in my prayer life. Maybe my soul winning, I've been letting it slip. My giving. Maybe it's just in my heart. It's not as pure as it once was. I've begun to watch some things or allow some things in my heart that shouldn't be there. Would to God you'd take inventory. Don't let things slip. Give earnest heed to the things that we've heard through the years. Folks still praying, invitation still open. Why don't you come?